Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in this place and give thanks and praise to God for all that he has done for us. We offer a special welcome to all who might be visiting with us here in the sanctuary and for all those who are joining in with us online this morning. Which reminds me, Brian, I'm not sure Facebook launched. So, just a little thing to make them sweat at the back of the church this morning. As we come for worship, it is we welcome Minna Cornelise to our organ this morning. It's nice to have Minna back after a couple of weeks. I hope you missed us while you were gone as much as we missed you, Minna. And thank you for playing Elijah as I'm coming up the stairs. I was half singing In His Heavenly Father's Realm, which is actually one of the tenor solos, but I don't think I can hit those notes anymore. But a lovely piece of music to enter the sanctuary too. A couple of brief announcements this morning for those who may be connected with young people in our congregation. The Clifford McRae Bursary is awarded to a graduate of any SDG County Board of Education school proceeding to any post-secondary educational institution. And if you know someone and think they might benefit from a little bit of extra support this year, then they can apply at the church office. As we come into the for the next couple of days, don't take this the wrong way, stay away. We're going to be waxing the main hallway of the church this week downstairs. So for the first couple of weeks, it's going to be a little sticky when people come in. And so we're going to ask people to refrain from being here. But by the time Thursday gets here for sure, maybe Wednesday, everything should be perfectly fine. And we'll be back in business. And finally, just a note that on Sunday, September 11th, we will be celebrating all kinds of things, the start of the church school year, our return to the regular patterns of worship, and after 2 years of COVID, hopefully just a return to the regular pattern of things. So plan to come on Sunday, September 11th for both worship and to stay for a time of fellowship afterwards. We're billing it as Sunday, so you can expect to have some ice cream, but there will be hot dogs as well. So, and activities for the young people. So all those things will be happening September 11th. And if you happen to know anybody who is a face painter, we're looking for a face painter from the congregation as well. So to kind of add to our repertoire of activities that day. As we enter the house of worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign to us that Christ is the light of the world, and that we walk in his ways. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Help, O Lord, for there is no longer anyone who is godly. The faithful have disappeared from humankind. I noticed that happen too. The promise of the Lord are promises that are pure. Silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. You, O Lord, will protect us. You will guard us from this generation forever. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of justice and truth, chaos often clouds the day and fears command the night. As we gather this day, remind us always of your promise to guard and protect your people and of your perfect holy love revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer. in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is, Your Kingdom Come, O God. The words will appear before you on the screen, or the hymn can be found at 269 in the Book of Praise. When humans deface God's image, the whole world suffers. We abuse the creation or idolize it. We are estranged from our Creator and from our neighbor, from our true selves and from all. Let us then confess our sins before our God and Maker this day, that we may fit ourselves to dwell in God's presence. The prayer of confession for this morning is a responsive prayer, and will appear before you on the screens. For the beauty of the earth, desecrated by pollution, extinguished by forest fires, choked by plastic waste. Christ our God, forgive us for systemic greed. For the urgency of this hour, ignored by apathy or procrastination, wasted by ineffective decisions and denied by economic interests. Christ, our God and Savior, forgive us for selfish short-term behavior. For the joy of human love, fractured by forced migration, crushed by bereavement, lost to typhoons, floods, and starvation. Christ, our God, bringer of justice, forgive us for this climate crisis. Amen. Friends, our world, broken and scarred, still belongs to God, who holds it together and gives us hope. With the whole creation, we join the song, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. He has made us a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and we will reign on earth. God will be all in all, righteousness and peace will flourish. Everything will be made new, and every eye will see at the last that our world belongs to God. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we come this morning, we're mindful of the fact that this is a busy week for many folks, many families in our congregation, as young people are busily packing things in the bags and boxes and getting ready to put them in the cars, and many are driving off this very weekend to university residences for another year. Indeed, that's what's happening around our own house. There's piles of boxes that I have to get around to try to get to the Chesterfield to watch a little bit of TV in the evening time. So we're just one of the many of the great exodus this year. So we're mindful of all of our families and our young people who are traveling and on the road this week as they prepare for another day. And we wish them all the best as they go. Let us pause for a moment to give thanks and praise to God for our young people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you have created and formed us and given to us intellect and ability. We rejoice in the opportunity that is ours to know and understand you and our world. We pray for all our young people as they return to college and university this week. We pray that you will keep them safe as they journey, give them inspiration to look toward a new day and new opportunities to learn of the wonder that you have created all around us. May they find the wisdom that is required to be the leaders of the future and to find solutions to this world's most enduring problems this day. We pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have spoken to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let your written word now be spoken and heard by each of us. Give to us ears to hear and hearts to understand, that we may not refuse your calling or ignore your voice. May we all be taught by you through your powerful word. Bring our every thought captive to obeying Christ, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 8, reading verses 4 to 7 and 18 to 22. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when people fall, do they not get back up? If they go astray, do they not turn back? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual faithlessness? They have held fast to deceit. They have refused to return. I have given heed and listened, but they do not speak honestly. No one repents of wickedness, saying, what have I done? All of them turn to their own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the storks in the heavens know its times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord. My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not with her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken, I mourn, and horror has seized me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Our second reading is a responsive reading from the Old Testament, Psalm 12. Help, O Lord, for there is no longer anyone who is godly. The faithful have disappeared from humankind.
They utter lies to each other. With flattening lips and deceitful heart they speak.
May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts.
Those who say, with our tongues we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is our master?
Because the poor are despoiled, because the needy groan, I will now rise up, says the Lord. I will place them in the safety for which they long.
The promise of the Lord are promises that are pure, silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times.
You, O Lord, will protect us. You will guard us from this generation forever.
On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the humankind.
Our next reading is from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 1, reading verses 22 to 27. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And our final reading is from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21, reading verses 18 to 22. In the morning when he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the side of the road, he went to it and found nothing at all on it but leaves. Then he said to it, May no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed, saying, How did the fig tree wither at once? Jesus answered them, Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, Be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. This is the word of the Lord.
God, for his word to us. Our hymn is number 657, Woman in the Night, and the words for the hymn will also appear before you on the screens.
Your sickness free, witness and prove.
brothers and sisters in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was actually funny that Minna had chosen sections of Elijah to play for the prelude this morning, because I've been listening to Elijah all week long as I've been working on this sermon and selecting passages that kind of fit with the first chorus of the book of the oratorio, Elijah. You see, we're familiar with texts like these ones that we've read this morning. We are familiar with them, but I think it's fair to say that each time we hear texts like these ones that we've read this morning in worship, or we read them as part of our daily devotionals, they never fail to catch us up short, to surprise us and to make us just a little bit uncomfortable. I think it's fair to say that most of us, we turn to our scriptures for encouragement and support. We open our Bibles and we seek the great affirmations of Scripture. We go looking for words like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For God is new and fresh every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Or, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We love those passages that remind us that God is on our side and we can live secure. The reason that texts like the ones you've heard this morning pull us up short is that they introduce an element of doubt into that desire to know that God will help us to dwell secure. They cause us to pause and to think. And that's a good thing. They cause us to pause and think, what are the consequences if God is not on our side? What are the consequences when we are not on God's side? What happens if we fail to honor all creation as a gift from God? What happens when we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves? What happens if we turn a blind eye to the poor and those who are all too often invisible in our society? And the answer is really quite simple. When we fail to look for God in the world around us, we no longer see God in creation, in our neighbors, in those for whom God has a special concern, the poor and those who are on the margins of society. That's why being part of a church is so important. That's why gathering together in worship each week to gather around these words and hear them is important. It is so that we never wander so far away from God that we do not see God in all of those things that are around us. We do not recognize and acknowledge the graciousness of the gifts of God. And in those moments when we have those wanderings, there is no peace for us. In those moments when we hear these readings that jar us and unsettle us, they do so because they challenge our peace. No peace because sometimes we've forgotten God's promises. We have forgotten God's love. And when we do that, we replace it with the hard scramble for what we can get out of this world, what we can get out of our relationships with other people. Everything becomes transactional and exploitative. That's what the prophets all declare as they wrestle with the exodus that fell upon the people of God, including of the prophet Jeremiah that we read this morning. In our reading from Jeremiah, Jeremiah begins with God's questioning of the prophet. What has happened to the people of God? That section that Angela read for us opens with these words. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when people fall, Do they not get up again? If they go astray, don't they turn back? Why then has this people, the people of God, turned away into perpetual backsliding? They have held fast to deceit, and they have refused to turn around. Written in the context of the exile of Israel and Judah, that moment in history when the children of God had been removed from the promised land and taken off into the land, into foreign lands to live with their captors, there is this real connection between following God's way and receiving God's blessing. And we fidget in our pews when we read texts such as this one, or we hear it read from the pulpit, because it makes us uncomfortable. Would God really withdraw God's blessing from us? Is suffering really the result of our sinfulness? I know. I've preached these texts enough in 30 some years of ministry to know that these are uncomfortable words. They're fidgety texts. If I'm going to get a complaint about something in the service on a Sunday morning, it's going to happen on the morning when I read these texts. Why? Because they unsettle us. Because they are difficult texts that speak to difficult times in Scripture, and difficult times for us today. We know that our faith is not as stalwart as it could be. That indeed we do live our days without once thinking to pause and look for God from time to time, looking for God around the corner or in the face of another. God in Jeremiah says, "My joy is gone, and my grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Listen to the cry of the poor people from far and wide in the land. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is her king not here? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn and dismay. I mourn and dismay has taken hold of me." And then the reading concludes as God grieves over the plight of the poor, the lack of care for the people less fortunate in society, which causes God to ask that question, "Is the Lord not here? Is her king not in Zion?" Where has God's justice gone? Why do the poor, the widows, and the children, chief amongst them in biblical times, suffer? We turn our attention to these texts this morning, these difficult texts, because of the difficult times in which we live. As we take time to think about the effects of climate change on our world, we know that it is the poor and the marginalized in our world who will suffer the effects of climate change first and most severely. We all know the images that from time to time flood our television sets of children with distended bellies, dry brown shoots trying to cling to life in the dusty soil of a farmer's field racked by drought. Livestock lying dead on the cracked earth of a once fertile riverbed. The effects of drought in many places around the world. And sometimes it's easy, maybe isn't the right word, but sometimes it's easy, right? We sit there and we watch these things, or we hear of drought on the news, and we go, "Oh, well, no big problem. next year will be better. Right? The only problem is that for most places in the world where there's drought right now, this is next year. And last year was next year. And the year before that was next year. For too many, the effects of climate change are already a reality, and they aren't changing anytime soon. The drought that is currently being experienced in Eastern Africa, yeah, believe it or not, there's a drought in Eastern Africa. We don't hear about it that often in the news. But the drought that is currently being experienced in Eastern Africa is not a one-year event. None of them are. The drought, that particular drought, has held these people in its grasp since 2015. 7 years. And there is no sign that anything's going to get any better. What is the future of nations like this in the years to come? Working on this series of climate change over the last couple of weeks, you know what? These sermons almost write themselves. All you have to do is turn on the news on any of the given weeks that I've been working through this stuff, and there's a new story. Sitting just yesterday, there was I saw several stories about the new about flooding that is happening in Pakistan. Flooding which has left hundreds of thousands of people without homes. It's washing out bridges and roads and entire mountainsides. Farms have disappeared. And they're noting that it's not really the fact that it's more storms than it ever was before, but the intensity of the rainfall that comes with these tropical storms has increased exponentially. It is unprecedented, and climate scientists predict that this is what new looks like. In the southern Pacific, entire island nations are wrestling with what does it mean to be a citizen of a country if the country doesn't exist. The island nation of Tuvalu has approached the government of New Zealand to set aside land for that island nation within the country of New Zealand. And in an interview with the climate change minister of Tuvalu, yes, there are nations in the world that have climate change ministers, he mused about this predicament of what does it mean to be a citizen of a nation if the nation doesn't exist. To issue a passport, a nation has to have a land to which a citizen can return. It's called the right of return. It was a big thing at the early days of the pandemic, right? No country could completely close its borders because citizens had the right to return. Well, what does that mean when there's no land left to return to? And so they've begun these complicated negotiations with New Zealand to have a country within a country. Elsewhere, in nations like the Marshall Islands, they are considering attempting to build up the island atoll in which the Marshall Islands are located to try to keep them above the sea. But really, how does a small, poor nation begin such a gargantuan building process as building the sea level of its land to double what it is today? There is no balm in Gilead. There is no physician there. Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? That is the question that God leaves us with in this, from Jeremiah. And it's an important question for us to consider as Christians. What is our response to all of this supposed to be? As we heard there in the psalm, the psalm it's not the most depressing psalm in the collection. But Psalm 12 is right up there in the pantheon of Psalms people don't go looking for in the book of Psalms. We'd rather not read it. It's one of those, well, this is really disgusting and everything's really, really bad. But in the middle of it, I hope you heard those words, there is this promise that God is faithful. God is faithful to his promises, and therefore there is always hope. But God asks the question, what about the poor? God will always have a special interest in the poor of this earth, for they are the ones for whom he cares the most. Throughout Scripture, from our reading in Jeremiah to Psalm, our Psalms text for today, to 1 Peter, it's all about how do we address the needs of our world, and it begins with this understanding that all of the world belongs to God. That everyone that exists in this world is a great creation of our God. And each is worthy in the eyes of our Lord. And that we are called to be God's partners in working out God's justice. To be the balm in Gilead. To be the ones who bring healing to the world so that there may be hope. Okay. This has been a depressing 3 weeks of preaching. I understand that. So I half apologize. But I just preach the gospel. I don't make up what's in the book. I just got to follow it. And every now and then the Spirit follows us into the darker places. So here's my promise for next week. And it builds on our last thought. Next week is good news. Next week is solutions time. And they're not all great solutions, but at least they're solutions. We're working in the right direction. Okay, so next week we will look at what are some of the things that I can do, because that is one of those real difficulties, isn't it? We say as individuals, maybe as provinces, as countries, just as citizens of this earth writ large, what can I do? So next week we'll have a little discussion about some things maybe we can do. What does it mean to be the ones who will bring healing to the world? What does it mean to be the balm in Gilead? How can we live with our neighbors in the world that we have in the world? Because the challenges are real. But so is the hope. At the heart of Psalm 12, go back and read it and read it and read it. It's kind of depressing. But if you read it enough, then all of a sudden the center starts to take focus. And all of a sudden you start to hear God's word, that God has made his promise. And that the promise abides. So as people of faith, we must never lose hope. Because that is not what God has called us to be and to do. God's promise to us is that he will be with us to overcome all of the challenges that we have in the world. It is not that we do not have challenges, but that God is with us. And as we celebrated in a brief passing moment there earlier today about young people going off to university to learn and to explore, they will be the future. Hopefully they will be the answers to some of these questions, but we are some of the answers too. God has created us with intellect and ability to be his people. We made the mess. We were smart enough to do that. Let us also clean it up, because God will make us smart enough to do that too. So stay tuned next week for week 4 of this series, and then we're going to move on to some different things. But this has been our season in the environment, in the celebration of creation and the realities of climate change, which are an unavoidable reality for us these days. Let us give thanks to God for his many and wonderful gifts to us. And let us use those gifts for the world around us. Thanks be to God. Our mission capsule this morning speaks to us of respite care. We all know the value of that for those who have older and infirmed folks in our circle of family. And we support the ability of folks around the world to have some relief from caring for others. And that is our mission moment today, as it appears on the screen. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. With joy and thanksgiving, let us present our tithes and our offerings to God. Let us pray. Generous God, each moment is a gift from you. You give to us all that we have. And in gratitude, we offer our time, talents, and tithes. May they bless others as we have been blessed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, 1,000 years in your sight are as but yesterday. We thank you for the dawning of this new day in all its goodness. We acknowledge your lordship over the world that you have made and over the creatures that you have placed in it. We acknowledge your lordship over us, feeble creatures who vainly strive to be masters of the universe you made and over which you still rule. We are very impressed with our own technology. Indeed, it is very impressive. But our inventions are made with the brains and skills and knowledge and zeal that you impart to us. May we affirm with confidence your lordship in the future, based on our conviction that you have been Lord from the beginning. We are sure of nothing as we face the future, except that you remain the Lord of the world, and that you created, and that you still love us. You have filled us with the light of your word, made flesh in Jesus Christ. Let that light of faith shine in all that we do, that we might bear fruit to the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, and yet who was born among us and lived with us. May they continue to inspire the thoughts of our hearts and the actions of our lives. As you have led us in days past, so guide us now and always, that our hearts may learn to choose your will and that our new resolves be strengthened. Help us to face the future with confidence, knowing that you have guided and led your people through the eons past, and knowing also that you are a personal God concerned not just with the mighty forces of wind and weather and of the destiny and fate of nations, but also with the joys and sorrows that characterize our lives. You filled us with the light of your word, made flesh in Jesus Christ. Let the light of faith shine in all that we do, that the one who is from everlasting to everlasting may continue to see us. Bless especially this day those who are in need, the people we do not know, those whose hope for the future is not buoyed by the experience of blessing in the past, who have not known healing or faith or prosperity, and who have no hope. Bless also those known to us who are in need this day. Especially, we name in the silence of our hearts those who are dearest to us. Be for them a balm in Gilead and a physician to heal all disease and discomfort. Be for them hope and peace. Gracious God, you have been our God in ages past, and we know that you will continue to be our God in years yet to come. So wrap us in your arms of love, as together at the beginning of this new day, we join in the church's ancient prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is 787 in the Book of Praise, or the words will appear on the screen. The kingdom of God is justice and joy. Let us sing to God the hymn.
Restore what sin would destroy.
Now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.